1 Kings chapter 14. Biblical exposition. The judgment on Jeroboam's house and the corruption of Judah. Introductory words. 1 Kings chapter 14 is the chapter in which Jeroboam's sin begins to be revealed as judgment on his house and on all Israel. When Jeroboam's son Abijah became sick, Jeroboam did not come before God in repentance. He disguised his wife and sent her to the prophet Ahijah, wanting only to know what would become of the child. But God already knew of that disguise. And he spoke the judgment that would come upon the house of Jeroboam. Jeroboam's sin was no mere personal weakness. He did not use the kingship God had given him to serve the righteousness of God. To protect his own kingship, he made golden calves. He also changed the place of sacrifice, the feasts, and the priesthood that God had ordained, leading the whole people of Israel into wrong faith. So the scripture says that he sinned and made Israel sin. God said he would sweep away the house of Jeroboam, and the death of his son Abijah became the beginning of that judgment. Yet even in the midst of it, God saw that in Abijah there was something good toward the Lord. And he said that this child alone would be buried. The judgment of God is fearful, but God is also the one who sees the very center of a person exactly. The latter part of this chapter shows that Judah, too, was not safe. Judah in the days of Rehoboam set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, doing evil before God. Northern Israel collapsed through Jeroboam's golden calves and corrupted law of sacrifice. And Judah, while possessing the temple, inclined its heart toward idols. Having the outward temple did not mean the heart was right before God. Today as well, a faith that corrupts the gospel of the water and the spirit that God has ordained is the same as the way of Jeroboam. Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John. Received the judgment of those sins on the cross and justified us by rising again from death. If one takes away from or changes this order of salvation, a person is left holding sin in his heart while wearing only a religious disguise. 1 Kings chapter 14 warns us to throw away disguised faith and stand honestly before the gospel of the water and the spirit that God has ordained. Jeroboam's sin began to be revealed as sickness and judgment in his house. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 14 begins with the words, "at that time." These words connect it with what came before. Jeroboam had made golden calves and placed them in Bethel and Dan, and had changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained as he pleased. He had made priests of the high places from ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi, and had fixed the feasts as he pleased. God had already sent a man of God from Judah to rebuke the altar of Bethel, and had even shown the sign of the altar splitting apart and the ashes pouring out. Yet Jeroboam did not turn back. At such a time, his son Abijah became sick. This does not speak merely of the illness of one prince. Jeroboam's sin was now beginning to appear as the shadow of judgment in his own house. Jeroboam had become king, but he did not use the kingship God had given him to serve the righteousness of God. To protect his own kingship, he replaced God with golden calves and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. The result of that sin was beginning to come upon his house. What God hates most is not only the sins into which people fall out of weakness. It is the sin of changing, by one's own thinking, the way God has ordained to save sinners, and of dragging many people into false faith. Jeroboam committed precisely that sin, today as well. A faith that corrupts the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the same as the way of Jeroboam. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. This is the way of salvation God has ordained. If anyone leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, or tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and his own efforts, that is changing the order of salvation God has ordained by human thinking. Jeroboam did not turn to God, but disguised his wife. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there, who told me that I would be king over this people." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 2. When his son became sick, Jeroboam did not fall down before God in repentance. He told his wife to disguise herself. He told her to go to the prophet Ahijah in Shiloh, so that people would not know she was the wife of Jeroboam. Ahijah was the prophet who had once told Jeroboam that he would become king of Israel. Jeroboam remembered Ahijah. He knew the prophet who had delivered the word by which God gave him the kingship, but he had no intention of returning to the God who had given that word. He did not ask in repentance before God why his son had fallen sick, or why such a thing had come upon his house. He only wanted to know what would become of the child. Here Jeroboam's heart is exposed. He did not fear the word of God. He only wanted to know the outcome of his problem. He did not seek to receive God's rebuke. He sought information to solve his family's trouble. And even that he could not seek honestly. He sent his wife in disguise. Wrong faith can never stand honestly before God. It hides its sins, changes its outward appearance, and covers itself with forms. But before God, no disguise works. It is the same for anyone who has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He can have the appearance of believing in Jesus, but if sin remains in his heart, he cannot hide that state before God. True faith is not a disguise. It is having the problem of one's sin solved before the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jeroboam sent a gift to the prophet, yet he did not repent. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 3. Jeroboam told his wife to take 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey. Seen from the outside, it looks like paying respect to the prophet. But in that gift, there was no heart of repentance. He did not intend to confess his sin. He wanted to know what would become of the child. If Jeroboam had truly feared God, he would have thrown away the golden calves and torn down the high places of Bethel and Dan. He would have dismissed the priests raised up from ordinary people and returned to the law of sacrifice God had ordained. But without any such turning back, he sent a gift to the prophet. A person can offer gifts to God. He can also equip himself with religious forms. But what pleases God is not objects. It is the faith that returns to the truth God has ordained. What Jeroboam needed was not loaves and cakes and honey. But a heart that acknowledged his sin before God and returned to the law of sacrifice God had ordained. It is the same today. However much devotion a person shows, however many religious acts he performs, and however much he seems to offer to God, he cannot receive the remission of sin unless he believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The faith God receives is the faith that believes this truth. Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death. Ahijah's eyes of flesh were dim, but the word of God was bright. And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 4. Jeroboam's wife did as her husband said. She disguised herself and went to Shiloh. When she came to Ahijah's house, Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim with age. By human thinking, the disguise seemed likely to work. They may have thought that since the prophet's eyes were dim, he would not recognize the wife of Jeroboam, but a servant of God is not one who sees only with the eyes of the flesh. Ahijah's eyes were dim, but when God spoke to him, he could know everything. People can deceive outward appearances, but they cannot deceive God. God already knew why Jeroboam's wife was coming and in what disguise. This word gives us an important lesson. Before God, the truth matters more than the outward form. However plausible the religious clothing a person wears, what God sees is the heart and its faith. If one does not believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and only decorates himself outwardly with the appearance of believing in Jesus, that cannot be hidden before God. True faith is not hiding before God. It is opening the heart before the truth that Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, believing that the judgment of those sins was finished on the cross, and receiving the salvation he completed by rising again from death. In this faith, a person no longer hides, but stands boldly before God. God said in advance that Jeroboam's disguised wife would come. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be, when she comes in, that she will pretend to be another woman." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 5. The Lord spoke to Ahijah in advance. He said that Jeroboam's wife would come to ask about her sick son, and that when she came in, she would pretend to be another woman. And God also told him what answer to give. This scene shows that God knows all hidden things. Jeroboam disguised his wife to deceive people, but God already knew everything. Ahijah's eyes of flesh were dim, but the word of God was not dim. When God reveals it, his servant can see the spiritual reality hidden behind a person's disguise. What Jeroboam's wife wanted to ask about was the future of the child. But the answer God intended to give was the word of judgment on the house of Jeroboam. People want to know only the outcome of their problems, but God speaks of the root of the problem, which is sin. The suffering that came upon Jeroboam's house was no accident. It was the result of the sin of replacing God with golden calves, corrupting the law of sacrifice, and leading many people into wrong faith. Today as well, God knows every religious disguise. God knows the reality of the one who stands as if he were a worker of God without knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, of the one who says he is saved while sin remains in his heart, and of the one who preaches only the cross while leaving out the baptism of Jesus. What matters before God is not the outward appearance, but whether one believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, shows that disguised faith cannot escape God's judgment. This passage is the scene in which Jeroboam's son Abijah becomes sick, and Jeroboam disguises his wife and sends her to the prophet Ahijah. Jeroboam remembered the prophet God had raised up, but he did not return to God. He wanted only to know what would become of the child, and he tried to hide his sin. But God already knew everything. He knew that Jeroboam's wife was coming in disguise, knew that he was asking because of his son's sickness, and knew the judgment that would come upon that house. People think they can deceive a prophet whose eyes of flesh are dim, but the eyes with which God sees never grow dim. This word questions us today as well. Are we standing honestly before God, or are we covering ourselves with a religious disguise? If we do not believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, and have only the form of believing in Jesus, that is the same as coming in disguised, like the wife of Jeroboam. What God wants is not a disguise. It is returning to the way of salvation God has ordained. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Whoever believes this gospel of the water and the Spirit has no need to hide before God, for the Lord has already taken on our sins and finished their judgment. The sickness that came upon Jeroboam's house was God's warning, but Jeroboam did not repent. He tried to solve the problem with a disguise. We must not follow this path. We must turn from a faith made by human thinking, from a faith that has changed the order of salvation God ordained, and from a faith decorated only in its outward appearance. Standing on the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the only way of true faith before God. Even a disguised person is exposed before the Word of God. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door. He said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6. Jeroboam's wife came into the prophet Ahijah's house pretending to be another person. But God had already told Ahijah who she was. Ahijah's eyes of flesh were dim and could not see, but the word of God was bright. Hearing her footsteps, he said at once, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6. Here we see that no disguise works before God. Jeroboam sent his wife in disguise, but God knew all that was within. A person can change his outward appearance, hide his identity, and cover himself with religious forms. But God looks at the center of a person. Ahijah said, "For I have been sent to you with bad news." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6. The word Jeroboam's wife was going to hear was not a word of comfort. Nor was it the good news that the child would recover. It was the word of God's judgment that would come upon Jeroboam and his house. Today as well, a person can put on a religious disguise before God. He can say he believes in Jesus, attend worship, and hold an office. But if sin remains in his heart as it is, and he does not believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit, his reality is exposed before God. True faith is not a disguise. It is receiving the remission of sin before the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. God exalted Jeroboam and made him ruler of Israel. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people, and made you ruler over my people Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 7. Through Ahijah, God first reminded Jeroboam of his grace. He said, I exalted you from among the people, and made you ruler over my people Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 7. Jeroboam was not a man who had become king by his own strength. God, judging Solomon's idolatry, had torn the kingdom and given it to him. Therefore, Jeroboam should have feared before God. He should have known that his becoming king had come about within the grace and providence of God, and he should have ruled the people according to the word God had ordained. The kingship was not given him to fill his own greed. It was given him to serve God's people within the will of God. But Jeroboam made the position God had given him into a tool for keeping his own kingdom. He feared that if the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem, they would leave him. So he made golden calves, set up altars in Bethel and Dan, and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Today as well, if one uses the grace received from God for his own benefit, he can drift into the way of Jeroboam. The person who has received the remission of sin by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit was not called to build his own kingdom. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. The one who has received this grace must serve not his own greed, but the righteousness of God and the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jeroboam did not follow God as David did, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8. God compared Jeroboam with David. David kept God's commandments and followed God with all his heart, and he did what was right in God's eyes. Of course, David too was a weak man, and there were times when he sinned. But when he was rebuked before God, he turned back, and the center of his heart was set on God. Jeroboam was different from David. Though God had given him the kingdom, he did not rely on God. He looked more at his fear of losing his kingship than at the promise God had spoken. So he did not follow the way God had ordained, but made a religious system out of his own thinking. What God looks at is not a person's position or outward form. More important than whether one became king, did great works, or made many people follow him, is whether his heart follows God. David, though lacking, set his heart on God. Jeroboam, even in the position received from God, held on to his own desires. It is the same with faith today. The person who believes and follows the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, just as it is the one who is right before God. Leaving out the baptism of Jesus and speaking only of the cross, or saying that one is saved while sin remains in the heart, is not following the word of salvation God has ordained. The believer must set his heart before the word like David, and stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jeroboam cast God behind his back. But you have done more evil than all who were before you. For you have gone and made for yourself other gods, and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 9. God said that Jeroboam had done more evil than all who were before him. He had made for himself other gods and molded images, provoking God to anger. And he had cast God behind his back. The golden calves Jeroboam made were not mere idol figures. He pointed to it and said that it was the God who had brought Israel up out of Egypt. He attributed to golden calves the work of salvation God had done. He replaced God with golden calves. This is the sin God hates most. Jeroboam also changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. The priests had to be raised up from among the sons of Levi, whom God had ordained, but he made ordinary people priests. The order of atonement and sacrifice had to be carried out according to the law God had ordained, but he changed the place, the feasts, and the priesthood to protect his own kingship. This was what it meant to cast God behind his back. Today as well, there is a faith that casts God behind its back. It is not believing, as it is the gospel of the water and the Spirit God has given, but changing it into human doctrine, to leave out the truth that Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself by receiving baptism from John, and to speak of the remission of sin by the blood of the cross alone, is not to deliver whole the order of salvation God has ordained. Trying to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is also a path that has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The salvation God has given us is clear. Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us completely by rising again from death. To cast away this truth and hold on to something else is the golden calf of today. The house of Jeroboam came to be judged as one sweeps away refuse. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as one takes away refuse until it is all gone. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 10. God said he would bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. He said he would cut off from Jeroboam every male bond and free in Israel, and would sweep away his house clean, as one sweeps away refuse. This word is very fearful. Why was God so angry? Because Jeroboam's sin was not a sin that ended in personal weakness. He changed the way of the remission of sin that God had ordained and led the people of Israel into that false way. He did not sin alone. He made the people sin as well. God does not take a person's sin lightly, but he rebukes even more fearfully the sin of corrupting the truth of salvation. He has ordained and dragging many souls into false faith. That the house of Jeroboam would be swept away shows how great this sin is before God. Corrupting the gospel of the water and the Spirit today is likewise a fearful thing. If one does not deliver the truth that Jesus took on sin through his baptism, but tells people that their sins disappear if they only believe in the blood of the cross, while sin remains in their hearts, that is not a work that saves souls. It is changing the word of salvation God ordained by human thinking. The death of those belonging to Jeroboam was proclaimed as a judgment of curse. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. 1 Kings chapter 14. Verse 11. God said that whoever belonged to Jeroboam and died in the city, the dogs would eat, and whoever died in the field, the birds of the air would eat. This means a judgment of curse in which not even the dignity of burial is granted. It is a word showing how thoroughly God would judge the house of Jeroboam. God spoke this way because those belonging to Jeroboam were within the stream of his sin. Jeroboam did not serve the golden calves alone. He dragged the people of Israel down that road. His house and his people were inside the system of false faith he had made. Therefore, God judged that sin. This word applies spiritually to us today as well. To whom one belongs is important. The person who belongs to the gospel of the water and the Spirit belongs to the way of salvation God has ordained. But the person who belongs to the faith of Jeroboam, the faith that has corrupted the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God ordained, stands spiritually on the way of death. Believers must depart from the faith that belongs to Jeroboam. We must depart from the faith that replaces God with golden calves, the faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and holds only to the cross, and the faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart. True faith is belonging to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Abijah's death was the beginning of the judgment on Jeroboam's house. Arise, therefore. Go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 12. God told Jeroboam's wife to return home, and he said that when her feet entered the city, the child would die. The future of the child that Jeroboam had wanted to know was proclaimed in this way. The death of this child was not merely the death of one child from illness. It was the beginning of the judgment that would come upon the house of Jeroboam. God had already said he would cut off the house of Jeroboam, and that word begins to unfold in reality with the death of Abijah. Jeroboam wanted only to know what would become of the child. But God spoke of the deeper problem of sin. The sickness and death that came upon Jeroboam's house were connected with his sin. The sin of changing the law of sacrifice God had ordained and making the people sin returned as judgment upon his house. Today as well, people want to know only the outcome of their problems. They ask whether the sickness will be healed, whether the matter will be solved, whether their circumstances will improve. But the deeper problem God sees is sin. What matters most is whether the sins of the heart have been washed by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Unless the problem of sin is solved through the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, the soul cannot live before God. However temporarily the problems of the flesh are solved, Abijah was one who held good intent toward God within Jeroboam's house, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 13. God said that Abijah would die, but at the same time that this child alone would come to the grave. Among those belonging to Jeroboam, only this child would be buried. The reason was that in him, within the house of Jeroboam, something good was found toward the Lord God of Israel. This word shows that even in the midst of God's judgment, there are God's mercy and discernment. Abijah was a child belonging to the house of Jeroboam, but God saw his heart. Even within Jeroboam's house, he held good intent toward God, and God counted that heart precious. God does not look only at a person's outward circumstances. More than which house one belongs to or what position one holds, He looks at whether the heart is directed toward God. The house of Jeroboam was a house to be judged, yet even within it, God distinguished the child who held good intent toward him. Today as well, God looks at the heart of a person. He counts precious the heart that hears the gospel of the water and the Spirit and desires to return to God. Even one who is in a wrong faith receives grace when he hears the truth God has ordained and turns back. God delights in the heart that believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, was judged on the cross, and rose again from death. God said he would raise up a king who would cut off the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day. What? Even now. 1 Kings chapter 14. Verse 14. God said he would raise up a king over Israel who would cut off the house of Jeroboam. And he said, What? Even now. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 14. The judgment was not some vague affair of the distant future. It was something already about to begin. The word God has given is certainly fulfilled. Jeroboam changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained in order to keep his kingship. But that path became not the way of keeping his house, but the way of its being cut off. When one tries to keep by human thinking what God has established, he loses it instead. This word shows that no system of faith that stands against God can stand forever. Jeroboam's golden calves, high places, and false priesthood could hold people for a while, but before God, they could only be judged. Today as well, no doctrine that corrupts the gospel of the water and the Spirit can stand forever. Human tradition, denominational power, and religious authority may seem to last long, but whatever stands against the truth God has ordained is in the end under judgment. What gives life is not a human institution, but the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jeroboam's sin made all Israel like a reed shaken in the water. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 15. God said he would strike Israel so that they would be like a reed shaken in the water. He also said he would uproot them from this good land and scatter them beyond the river. This shows that Jeroboam's sin did not stay within his own house, but became a disaster for all Israel. Jeroboam tried to make his kingdom secure, but because he changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, Israel instead became like a shaken reed. A faith that has left God cannot make anyone secure. What looks outwardly like a means of protecting the kingdom is, before God, a sin that shakes the nation to its roots. The reason Israel would be uprooted from the good land was that they had provoked God to anger with the wooden images of Asherah. Idolatry is not merely the matter of bowing before a figure. It is casting away the truth of salvation God has given and relying on something else. Just as Jeroboam replaced God with golden calves, so whenever a person relies on material things, his own doctrines, and religious institutions more than on God, that becomes idolatry. Today as well, wrong Christian faith makes people like shaken reeds. They are told they are saved, while sin remains in their hearts, so their conscience wavers. They are told that sins are washed away by prayers of repentance, so they go back and forth daily between sinner and righteous. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit keeps a person's heart from shaking, for it makes him believe that sin was completely solved through the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. Jeroboam sinned himself and made Israel sin, and he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 16 sums up Jeroboam's sin in one sentence. He sinned, and he made Israel sin. This is why Jeroboam's sin is so fearful. He was not alone in departing from God. He made the whole people depart from the way God had ordained. He set up golden calves and made the people serve them, made ordinary people priests, and fixed the feasts as he pleased. As a result, the people of Israel, while claiming to serve God, came to follow a faith that had left the law of sacrifice God had ordained. This was collective sin. Today as well, when a leader does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit and preaches a wrong doctrine of salvation, not only does he go wrong, but those who hear him also remain in sin. If one explains salvation by the blood of the cross alone, leaving out the baptism of Jesus, people cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. They come to imagine they are saved while sin remains in their hearts. This is not a work that saves souls. Like Jeroboam, it is a work that makes others sin as well. We must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Delivering this truth is the work that saves souls. Corrupting this truth is standing on the way of Jeroboam, sinning oneself, and making others sin. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 6 through 16 warns us not to belong to the sin of Jeroboam. This passage is the word of judgment upon the house of Jeroboam and upon all Israel. God had exalted Jeroboam from among the people and made him ruler of Israel, but he did not follow God as David had. Instead, he made other gods and molded images and cast God behind his back. As a result, his house would be swept away as one sweeps refuse, and Israel would be uprooted from the good land and scattered. The center of this word is clear. The sin of changing the law of salvation God has ordained, and of leading many people into that false way, is a very great sin before God. Jeroboam sinned himself and made Israel sin. Therefore, God said he would give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam. Believers today must not fall into the sin of Jeroboam. We must depart from a faith that has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit, a faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross, a faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart, and a faith that serves material things and success like God. The way of salvation God has ordained does not change. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. Whoever believes this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Whoever holds this truth is the person who has escaped the sin of Jeroboam and returned to God. Therefore, we must not disguise ourselves before the word God has given. We must not make a faith out of our own thoughts. We must abandon the way of Jeroboam, who sinned himself and made others sin, and stand on the way of believing and preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This is the solemn lesson. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 6 through 16 gives us. The word of God was fulfilled exactly at the appointed time. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 17. Jeroboam's wife heard the word of God's judgment from the prophet Ahijah and returned to Tirzah. God had already said, "When your feet enter the city, the child shall die." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 12. And that word was fulfilled exactly. When Jeroboam's wife came to the threshold of the house, the child died. This scene shows how precisely the word of God is fulfilled. Jeroboam sent his wife in disguise, but he could not deceive God. Ahijah's eyes of flesh were dim, but the word God had given was not dim. The judgment God had spoken was fulfilled without deviating by so much as a hair. The death of Jeroboam's son was not merely a family sorrow. Jeroboam's sin had come upon his house as actual judgment. Jeroboam did not use the kingship God had given him to serve the righteousness of God. Instead, to keep his own kingship, he made golden calves, changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, and set up ordinary people as priests. The sin of changing the order of salvation God had ordained to suit his own greed appeared as death in his house. Today as well, when a person changes the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, the result is by no means light. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death. If one takes away from or changes this order of salvation, speaking only of the blood of the cross and not of the baptism of Jesus, the conscience of man cannot be saved from sin. The child's death was the beginning of the judgment on Jeroboam's family. Jeroboam's son Abijah fell sick, and God said that the child would die. But in the earlier word, God had said that in that child there was good intent toward the Lord. So he said that among those belonging to the house of Jeroboam, that child alone would come to the grave and be buried. Therefore, this death was not a meaningless death. On the one hand, it was the beginning of the judgment that came upon Jeroboam's family. On the other hand, it was God's discernment, not leaving that child in the deeper wickedness of Jeroboam's house. Even while judging the whole house of Jeroboam, God distinguished the child who held good intent toward him. Here we can see that God looks at the center of a person. The house of Jeroboam was under the sin of the golden calves and the corrupted law of sacrifice. Yet even within that house, God saw a heart directed toward the Lord. The judgment of God is not indiscriminate. God judges sin, yet he knows the one whose heart is toward him. For the believer, what matters is not the age or the environment he belongs to, but the heart that believes the truth God has ordained. God looks preciously on the heart that hears the gospel of the water and the Spirit and turns to him. Even a person who was inside a wrong faith can receive the remission of sin if he believes the truth of the salvation completed through the baptism Jesus received. the cross, and his resurrection from death, the mourning of all Israel could not stop the fulfillment of God's word. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 18. When the child died, all Israel buried him and mourned for him. The people's grief would have been sincere. The death of the prince was the sorrow of a family and a matter for the whole nation to mourn. But that grief could not turn back the judgment of God. The scripture says it happened according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 18. The heart of this verse is not the grief, but the fulfillment of the word of God. People buried and mourned, but the word God had spoken was fulfilled just as it was. Before the word of God, human emotion and forms cannot stop judgment. Grief without repentance and mourning that does not return to the truth cannot solve the problem of sin. What Jeroboam had to do was not merely to grieve. He had to throw away the golden calves and return to the law of sacrifice God had ordained. He had to abandon the false altars of Bethel and Dan and turn from the sin of setting up ordinary people as priests. But to the end, he did not depart from his evil way. It is the same today. A person's aching heart over sin, religious tears, and repeated prayers of repentance do not make sin disappear. One must return to the way of salvation God has ordained. One must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 17 through 18 shows that no one can escape the word of God. These two verses are short but very weighty. When Jeroboam's wife returned to Tirzah and came to the threshold of the house, the child died. All Israel buried him and mourned for him. And the scripture testifies that all this happened according to the word the Lord had spoken through the prophet Ahijah. Jeroboam used the kingship he had received from God for his own desires. He changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, set up golden calves in place of God, and plunged even the people of Israel into sin. That sin returned in the end upon his own house as death and judgment. This word warns us today as well. If one changes the word of salvation God has ordained, he cannot escape the result. A faith that has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit, a faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross, a faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart, and a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and its own efforts cannot set anyone right before God. The word of God is certainly fulfilled. Therefore, we must turn back from the way of Jeroboam. We must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained just as it is. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John. Receive the judgment of those sins on the cross and saved us completely by rising again from death. Whoever believes this truth is the one who has received the remission of sin before God. The death fulfilled at the threshold of Jeroboam's house shows the solemnity of God's word. Before that word, we must not disguise ourselves or cover ourselves with forms. We must return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit and believe the salvation God has accomplished. More important than Jeroboam's remaining acts is his end before God. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, Indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 19 sums up the remaining acts of Jeroboam briefly. It says that how he made war and how he reigned are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Jeroboam too had political achievements, records of war, and deeds of governing as king. In man's history books, such things can be recorded in detail. But the scripture does not praise Jeroboam's achievements at length. Rather, it hands his remaining acts over to the book of the Chronicles and treats as more important his sin and his judgment before God. This shows that scripture counts a person's faith and the problem of sin before God weightier than his outward achievements. Jeroboam became king, fought, and governed, but he did not use the kingship God had given him to serve the righteousness of God. To keep his own kingship, he made golden calves, set up altars in Bethel and Dan, and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. He made priests from ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi, and fixed the feasts as he pleased. So his reign was outwardly the reign of a king, but before God, it was a reign that led Israel into sin. Today as well, however many a person's activities and achievements may look, if he has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit, they are not right fruit before God. Even if the church grows large, the ministry is abundant, and he has influence over people, if he does not preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death, it is not a work that leads souls to the remission of sin. Jeroboam's wars and reign could be recorded, but the core of what God saw was the fact that he had created the sin of Jeroboam. Therefore, we must fear more than what remains in man's history with what faith we stand before God. Even 22 years of kingship could not cover the sin of leaving God. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, so he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 20. Jeroboam reigned as king for 22 years. But those 22 years of kingship did not become a blessed end before God. He rested with his fathers, and his son Nadab reigned in his place. Outwardly, it looks as if the dynasty is passing on to the next generation. But as God had already said, judgment had been proclaimed on the house of Jeroboam. Nadab's succession to the throne was not a simple transfer of kingship. It was the stream in which Jeroboam's sin and God's judgment continued into the next generation. The sin by which Jeroboam corrupted the law of sacrifice God had ordained did not end with him alone. His son, too, would follow that way, and his house would in the end be cut off according to the word of God. This is why Jeroboam's sin is fearful. He sinned himself and made Israel sin. Trying to keep his own kingship, he led the whole people into wrong sacrifice and idolatry. So his 22-year reign was not a matter of length, but of direction. More important than how long he ruled is whether he followed the way God had ordained. It is the same with faith today. Having believed in Jesus for a long time does not itself guarantee right faith. Even if one has ministered long, lived long in the church, and had many religious experiences, if he does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the sin in his heart has not disappeared. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, or that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and its own efforts, is not the way of salvation God has ordained. The way God has ordained is clear. Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. When we believe this gospel of the water and the Spirit, sin disappears from the conscience, and we stand as the righteous before God. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 19 through 20, makes us see the stream of God's judgment rather than 1 Kings record. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 19 through 20, looks like a short summary. Jeroboam's remaining acts were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. He was king for 22 years, and after he died, his son Nadab became king in his place. But within this short word lies a weighty spiritual lesson. In man's history, how Jeroboam fought and how he governed can be recorded. But what remains before God is the evaluation of his sin. He changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, made the people serve golden calves as God, and led them into sin. As a result, his house was placed under the judgment of God. Therefore, we must think about how our lives will remain before God rather than how they will look before men. Even if one has done many things in men's eyes, if he has corrupted or left the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that is not the way that saves souls. Believing and preaching the word of salvation God has ordained, just as it is the most important thing. Jeroboam's 22 years ended, and his son Nadab succeeded to the throne. But the stream of sin also continued. This is a warning that wrong faith affects the next generation and the community. When one person leaves the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God ordained and sets up human doctrine, many souls under his influence can remain in sin. We must turn back from the way of Jeroboam. We must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit completed by Jesus Christ, who took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and rose again from death. Only this truth saves a person from sin and brings him out of the sin of Jeroboam back to God. Rehoboam reigned in Jerusalem, where God put his name, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. From 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21, the eye moves from the story of Jeroboam in northern Israel to the story of Rehoboam in Judah. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and he became king of Judah. He came to the throne at 41 and reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. The scripture calls Jerusalem the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. This shows what a great spiritual privilege Rehoboam stood in. He did not reign in just any city. He reigned in the city God had chosen to put his name there. There was the temple, and there was the sacrificial system God had ordained. But living in the city where God put his name does not automatically mean serving God rightly. Even with the temple in Jerusalem, if the heart leaves God, people can go down the road of idolatry. The days of Rehoboam show precisely that fact. The scripture also records that Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, an Ammonitess. It makes us think of how Solomon's loving of foreign women and the turning of his heart after the idols they brought in was still affecting the next generation. Solomon's corruption did not end as a personal matter. It left the shadow of idols over his house, over the nation, and even over the days of the next king. Today as well, the name of a church, an office, a tradition, and the forms of worship cannot save anyone. One must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Unless one stands on this truth, the heart can turn toward idols even in a place bearing the holiest of names. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22. The scripture does not speak of Rehoboam alone. It says, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22. The way of the king became the way of the people, and the whole people did evil before God. Moreover, it says their sins exceeded all that their fathers had done. This means the sin had accumulated and deepened. Judah had the temple in Jerusalem. It was not a nation that had set up golden calves in Bethel and Dan, like northern Israel. Outwardly, Judah was the nation with legitimacy. But having the temple does not mean God is automatically pleased. What God looks at is not the outward form, but whether they are within the way God has ordained. Jeroboam openly changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Yet Judah also failed to stand in the way that pleases God. They did evil in the sight of the Lord and provoked his wrath. This shows that the sin of northern Israel and the sin of Judah appeared in different forms, but both were ways that had left God. It is the same today. Some serve material things and the world openly as God, and some speak the name of Jesus while holding to human doctrines without knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The outward shapes differ. But whoever leaves the way of salvation God has ordained is on an evil way before God. The way of salvation God has ordained is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism Jesus received, sin was passed on to him. On the cross, that sin was judged. And by his rising from death, the new life was completed. A faith that departs from this truth cannot be right faith before God, however rich its religious forms. The high places, the idols, and the wooden images of Asherah show that Judah's heart had left God. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 23. The people of Judah built high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah on every high hill and under every green tree. Though the temple of Jerusalem, where God put his name, was there, they built high places. Though the way of worship God had ordained was there, they followed human desire and pagan customs and served idols. The high hills and the green trees were the worship sites of pagan religion. Judah should have served God in the land God had given, but instead they imitated the religious ways of the pagan nations God had driven out. This was evidence that their hearts were not with God. Idolatry is not only bowing before a figure, casting away the truth God has ordained, and relying on something else is idolatry. Jeroboam replaced God with golden calves. Judah set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah. Today, material things, success, religious authority, and human doctrines can take the place of God. Above all, corrupting the gospel of the water and the Spirit is a spiritually fearful idolatry. God completed the way of salvation through the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. If a person leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross, he is not delivering whole the order of God's salvation. A faith that says the sins remaining in the heart can be handled by prayers of repentance is also changing the way of the remission of sin God ordained into a human religious method. We must not build high places that have left the way God ordained. Our hearts must stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must believe these truths just as they are, that Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, that he received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and that he justified us by rising again from death. Judah imitated the abominations of the pagans, and there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. In the land of Judah there were also perverted persons. The scripture says that the people did according to all the abominations of the nations the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. God had told Israel not to follow the abominable customs of Canaan. But Judah accepted again the sins of the nations God had driven out. This was living in the land God had given while following what God hates. Judah had the name of God's people, but the direction of their life and worship grew like the abominable customs of the pagans. This was what was evil in the sight of God. Faith is not maintained by a name alone, even with the name of God's people. When the heart leaves the truth God has ordained, one comes to follow the ways of the world. Judah possessed Jerusalem, yet imitated the abominations of the pagans. This warns against the faith of today that calls on the name of Jesus while following the desires of the world and the doctrines of men. A faith that does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit ends up following human thinking and worldly religiosity. If one speaks only of the blood of the cross and cannot solve the sin of the heart, he remains a sinner. And a heart that remains sinful cannot come boldly to God and ends up clinging to religious forms or worldly blessings. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit actually delivers a person from sin. Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. When we believe this truth, we leave the place of sinners and stand as the righteous before God. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, shows that one cannot serve God by the name of Jerusalem alone. This passage shows that although Rehoboam reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jerusalem was the city God had chosen to put his name there. But living in that city did not automatically mean Judah served God rightly. They set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, and imitated the abominations of the pagan nations God had driven out. This word gives an important warning to the faith of today as well. The name of a church, the form of worship, the length of one's faith, and one's office cannot make a person stand rightly before God. What matters is whether one believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. If one changes or takes away the way of salvation God has given, it becomes the same stream as Jeroboam's golden calves and Judah's high places. We must throw away the high places built by human thinking. We must throw away the heart that serves material things and success as God. We must turn back from the wrong doctrine that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. We must return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon Himself by receiving baptism from John. Receive the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Faith in this truth is the true faith God delights in. Just as the name of Jerusalem could not make Judah righteous, so today the name of Christianity cannot make anyone righteous. Only by faith in the gospel of the water and the Spirit can we stand before God. Judah, having left God, suffered the invasion of Shishak, king of Egypt. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up to attack Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city God had chosen to put His name there. The house of the Lord was there. But living in the city God had chosen did not mean Judah was automatically protected by God. In the preceding word, Judah had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They had set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah on the high hills and under the green trees, and had imitated the abominations of the pagan nations God had driven out. Therefore, Shishak's invasion was not merely a change in international affairs. It was a chastening that came upon a Judah that had left God. The most dangerous thing for God's people is not the enemy outside, but the heart leaving God. Jeroboam in northern Israel changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained and set up golden calves. Judah, though it had the temple in Jerusalem, let its heart flow toward the high places and idols. Northern Israel and Judah differed in form, but they were in the same stream of sin in that they had left the way God ordained. Today as well, the name of a church, the form of worship, and the tradition of faith cannot make anyone stand before God. One must believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon Himself by receiving baptism from John, received a judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death. If one leaves this truth, then even in a place with the holiest of names he stands. Spiritually, where the invasion of Egypt comes. The treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house were taken. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 26. Shishak attacked Jerusalem and took away all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He also took away all the gold shields Solomon had made. This is the scene of Judah's glory collapsing. The wealth and splendor of Solomon's day, the treasures of the temple and of the palace, passed into the hands of the king of Egypt. The golden glory Solomon enjoyed had been given by God, but Solomon did not use those blessings to the end in serving the righteousness of God. He loved foreign women, received idols, and left God. The stream of that sin appeared as Judah's shame in the days of Rehoboam. If the glory God gives is not used for God, it is in the end taken away by the world. The taking of the treasures of the house of the Lord was not only a material loss, it shows a state in which the spiritual glory of God's presence had departed. The temple was there, but its treasures were not kept. The name of Jerusalem was there, but the faith toward God had crumbled. It is the same with faith today. Even if a person speaks the name of Jesus and speaks of the cross, if he loses the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he has lost the spiritual treasure. If he does not know the truth, that our sins were passed on to Jesus through the baptism he received, he cannot fully know why the blood shed on the cross became the judgment of sin. A faith that has lost the gospel of the water and the Spirit may keep the name of Christianity outwardly, but it loses the true power that washes the sins of the heart. After losing the gold shields, he substituted bronze shields. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard, who guarded the doorway of the king's house. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 27. When Shishak carried off all of Solomon's gold shields, Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place. In the place where the gold shields had been, he put bronze shields. Outwardly, there were still shields. There were shields entrusted to the hands of the captains of the guard, who kept the door of the king's house. But the essence of those shields had changed. The gold shields had become bronze. This scene is spiritually very weighty. After losing the glory God has given, a person may try to replace it with a similar shape rather than truly recover it. Having lost the gold shields, Judah should have repented of its sin before God and turned back. They should have thrown away the high places, the idols, and the wooden images of Asherah and returned to the way God had ordained. But Rehoboam substituted bronze shields for gold. This is like a faith that has lost its true glory and maintains only the outward form. A faith that has lost the gospel of the water and the Spirit can also outwardly keep the shape of worship, preaching, offices, and doctrine. But if the truth is missing, that Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death, then it is the same as having lost the gold shields and holding bronze ones. Today, many people speak only of the blood of the cross and yet speak of assurance of salvation. But if sin remains in the heart, that is not the true gold shield of the remission of sin God has given. Trying to wash away sins with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts is like substituting bronze shields for gold. Only by returning to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained is the true spiritual glory restored. The procession of bronze shields shows a faith in which only the form remains. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 28. Whenever Rehoboam entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried the bronze shields and then brought them back into the guard room. Outwardly, the procession of the king entering the temple continued. There were guards bearing shields, and there was the form of entering the house of the Lord, but what they held in their hands was no longer the gold shields. They were bronze. This word shows a faith in which the form remains, but the glory has departed. The house of the Lord was still there, and the king entered it, but the heart of Judah had already inclined toward the high places, the idols, and the wooden images of Asherah. The form of entering the temple did not mean that God delighted in that faith. Today as well, the forms of worship can remain. There can be hymns and prayers and sermons and church life. But if the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not there, it becomes a form that has lost the power of life. However zealously a person says he believes in Jesus, if he does not believe the truth that Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, the sins of his heart are not solved. The faith God delights in is not a procession of bronze shields. It is the faith built on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The faith that believes the truth that Jesus took our sins upon himself by his baptism, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Only with this faith can we come boldly before God. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 through 28 warns us not to replace lost glory with a man-made form. This passage is the event in which Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem and carried off the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and Solomon's gold shields. Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. Whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried those bronze shields and brought them back again. This short event clearly shows the spiritual state of Judah. The golden glory God had given was gone, and only the bronze shape made by human hands remained. The form of entering the temple remained, but repentance that turns back before God and true faith are nowhere to be seen. We must look at the faith of today in this word. A Christianity that has lost the gospel of the water and the Spirit is like Judah, which lost the gold shields and held bronze ones. If one leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, no one can know how sin was passed on to Jesus. If one says he is saved while sin remains in his heart, that is not the true remission of sin, but a stay in religious form. The way of salvation God has ordained cannot be replaced by any man-made form. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. Only this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true glory God has given. Therefore, we must not be content with bronze shields. We must turn back from a faith in which only the outward shape remains, from religious forms from which the gospel of the water and the Spirit is missing, and from an assurance of salvation made by human doctrine. We must hold the gold shield of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has given. When we are in this faith, we do not lose our spiritual treasure to the world, and we keep the true glory of righteousness before God. More important than Rehoboam's remaining acts is with what faith he lived. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 29 says that the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. Rehoboam too would have done many things as king. There would have been political judgments, wars, and deeds of governing the nation. Such contents can be recorded in man's history books. But the scripture does not evaluate Rehoboam's political achievements at length. What the scripture regards as more important is what way he walked before God. He reigned in Jerusalem, which God had chosen to put his name there. The house of the Lord was there, and the sacrificial system God had ordained was there. Yet in his days, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord and set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah. This shows that a good position and outward privileges given by God do not guarantee true faith. Rehoboam was in Jerusalem, but the heart of Judah did not turn wholly to God. The form of the temple was there, but the high places and idols existed together with it. They lived in the city, bearing the name of the Lord, yet the people living in it imitated the abominations of the pagans that God hates. It is the same today. The name of a church, the length of one's faith, offices, and records of ministry cannot make a person righteous before God. What God looks at is whether he believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death. Without faith in this truth, however many acts a person's record contains, the problem of sin cannot be solved before God. The war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam was the fruit of division left by sin. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 30. The scripture says, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Judah and northern Israel were originally one people. They were a people who should have served the same God, and who should have looked toward the same way of the remission of sin within the law of sacrifice God had ordained. But after Solomon's corruption, the nation was torn. And in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, that division showed itself as continual war. This war was not merely a political conflict. At its root lay the sin of leaving God. Solomon received foreign women and idols, and did not use to the end the wisdom and wealth God had given him in serving the righteousness of God. As a result, God tore the kingdom. Jeroboam gained the kingship, but to keep it, he set up golden calves and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Rehoboam was in Jerusalem, but Judah set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, doing evil before God. Therefore, the constant war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam was the fruit left by sin. When people leave the way God has ordained, peace disappears between them as well. A people who should serve one God come to fight each other. Sin not only divides God and man, but also leaves division and strife within the community. Wrong Christian faith today is the same. Those who have left the gospel of the water and the Spirit say they believe in Jesus, Yet because the sin of their hearts is not solved, they constantly waver between sinner and righteous. If one leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, he cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. So sin remains in the heart, and he tries to solve it with prayers of repentance and his own efforts. Such faith cannot give true peace to the soul, and in the end it keeps people in religious strife and anxiety. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit gives true peace to the heart. For when Jesus received baptism from John, all our sins were passed on to him. On the cross, the judgment of those sins was finished. And by his rising from death, the way of justification was completed. Whoever believes this truth stands in the assurance that he has no sin before God. Rehoboam's death, though he was buried in the city of David, could not cut off the stream of idolatry. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Amijam his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 31. Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David. He was a descendant of David and was buried in the city of David. But the fact that he was buried in the city of David could not cover the sins of his day. In his days, Judah did evil in the sight of God, setting up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah. They also suffered the shame of losing the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the palace to Shishak, king of Egypt. The scripture again records that his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. This recalls the stream of the foreign women and idolatry of Solomon's day. Solomon loved foreign women, and the idols they served entered Israel. In Rehoboam's day, the shadow of that idolatry had not disappeared. Sin does not end in one generation. It affects the next. Rehoboam died, and his son Abijam became king in his place. The kingship continued, but what matters is the direction of faith. Being buried in the city of David and inheriting the dynasty of David does not automatically mean having the faith of David. What God wants is not bloodline or outward form, but a heart toward God and obedience to his word. It is the same today. Inheriting the name of Christianity, inheriting church tradition, and inheriting religious forms does not mean true faith is inherited. The faith that believes and preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit must be handed down. The truth that Jesus took our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death must be delivered to the next generation just as it is. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 29 through 31, makes us see the stream of sin rather than the record of kings. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 29 through 31, closes the life of Rehoboam briefly. His remaining acts were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. There was always war with Jeroboam. He was buried in the city of David, and his son Abijam became king in his place. But within this short conclusion lies a weighty spiritual lesson. The days of Rehoboam were the days that followed Solomon's corruption. Solomon left God and received idols, and as a result, the nation was torn. Jeroboam set up golden calves in northern Israel and corrupted the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Rehoboam possessed Jerusalem in Judah, but Judah set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, doing evil before God. In the end, North and South were constantly at war. This is the result of a faith that has left the way God ordained. When a person leaves God and makes a faith out of his own thoughts and desires, what remains at the end is division, shame, and judgment. Jeroboam's golden calves. The high places and idols of Rehoboam's day. The temple treasures and gold shields taken by Shishak. And the unceasing war between North and South are all the fruits of the sin of leaving God. Believers today must examine their own faith before this word. We must look more at with what faith we will stand before God than at what we will leave in man's history. A faith that has left the gospel of the water and the Spirit may continue long outwardly, but before God it is not the way of life. The way of salvation God has ordained is only the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Whoever believes this truth is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must not go the way of Rehoboam, outwardly belonging to the city of David, while the heart has left God. Neither must we, like Jeroboam, change the order of salvation God has ordained by human thinking. We must remain in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Only this truth saves a person from sin and brings him out of the stream of division and idolatry back to God.